Please stand for the reading of the gospel according to Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Let us hear this word of the Lord. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Baptism. John the Baptist. Now that version from Mark, that was a lectionary reading. Today we have that dual thing going on. Today is the baptism of the Lord. It's also Epiphany Sunday. So they give you two sets of scriptures that you could preach from. We talked about the Epiphany last week. There's the nativity scene. The appearing of the Lord to us, Emmanuel, God with us, in the flesh. I chose to go with the baptism of the Lord because it always intrigued me. Jesus being baptized. See, baptism was for the forgiveness of sins. Did Jesus ever sin? No. We believe that he's never sinned. Baptism. I like the way it puts it in our United Methodist hymnal on page 33. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered us without price. Baptism is about becoming part of the family of God. John was baptizing in the Jordan River for the forgiveness of sins. And I like the way it puts it in Matthew better. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 15 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to stop him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me?' And Jesus replied, 'Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John consented." There is a right way to do things and a wrong way. So when I put my hands up like this, you say there is a right way and there is a wrong way. Okay, very good. That just may not sound like a big deal to you. It may sound like real common sense. But we live in a society today where anything goes. If it feels good, do it. And don't you dare complain about anybody. You're not allowed to criticize anybody about anything. Everybody's got a right to do whatever it is they want to do. And it's all okay. Well, guess what? Absolutely is. You know, it's just crazy. And yet, in our world today, it's unthinkable to do anything that would offend anybody else. Just kind of nuts. And I think the political correctness, I've said it before and I'll say it again and again. I think political correctness is just ruining our society. I think it's gone overboard. Baptism... it links us to God's mighty acts of salvation, right? And all those mighty acts of salvation culminate in Jesus. Jesus, who was without sin, came to John to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was telling us that there is a proper way to do things. There's an order to doing things. So there's a right way and the wrong way. In the church today, there are so many different... Scripture confirms Scripture. So if you read a passage like this about from Mark chapter 1, you can also read about it in Matthew. You can read about baptism in other parts of the Bible, and it will all confirm each other. And yet people all the time take a passage like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They'll take that passage and they'll go out and they'll do all kind of damage and hurt people in the name of religion because of that little passage, and yet they don't read all of it. You know, you need to confirm Scripture with Scripture. And our society is so out of whack. You know, Jimmy Jones thing, I don't know how many years ago that was, but he used religion and he had a whole bunch of people commit suicide. The wacko from Waco and the Heaven's Gate cult. How many of you remember the Heaven's Gate cult? I always love bringing that one up because it just really, really, it's so sad. I shouldn't chuckle at it. But I'm thinking, like, what's the matter with people? Heaven's Gate cult, you know, that when Halley's Comet was passing our solar system, some guy convinced people using the scriptures and religion and science and all that. He convinced them that there was a spaceship in the tail of that comet. And that if they committed suicide at the right time, they would end up on that spaceship to live forevermore. And they showed up at these houses dressed in their finest clothes. And they laid on these cots. And at the foot of the cots, they had their suitcases. And they took poison. I don't know. You know, it's just really out there. But there's a lot of cults, a lot of denominations. There are people preaching today that there is no hell. You've heard me mention that before. You've also heard me say that there's the heresy being preached that everybody is saved. Everybody's saved. Universal salvation. One of the biggest heresies going on today. And yet the Bible makes it clear that not everybody's saved today. The Bible makes a lot of things clear. The Bible makes that real clear too. Jesus said, hey, listen, I'll show you. In John 14, verse 5, you know, we have Jesus first. He's telling the disciples, he's saying, listen, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And he said, and you know the way where I'm going. Well, Thomas said, you know, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus in John 14, 5 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus was saying there is a right way. There is an only way. Making it real clear that there's a right way in life. So we tried to tell the kids, you know, Simon says, Jesus says. That's why it's important. No matter where we go and what we do, there's a right way to do things. And Jesus getting baptized when he didn't need to be baptized for forgiveness of sins was saying that there is a right way. There are wonderful traditions in the church. And Jesus started a lot of those. Jesus said that the things that I have done, you will do, and even greater things. And Jesus, he was in church every day, synagogue. He prayed every day. He fasted constantly. He was up early in the morning. He was up late at night praying. He would pull apart into the garden, pray by himself. He would go up on the mountaintop and pray. And Jesus ministered to the hungry and the poor and the sick. He reached out to the people on the fringes of society. He didn't hang out with the most popular people. And he fought against the evil in society. All you got to do is read about what he had to say to the Sadducees and Pharisees. You brood of vipers. You whitewashed tombs. So he fought injustice wherever he found it. The traditions of the church are important. We don't forsake the gathering together. This is where we should be, to worship the Lord and to do ministry together. We study the Bible, we pray, and we fast. And we really need to do that. We usually do it just during Lent, but we need to do it more often. We need to follow Jesus' example. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't come to fix the world. He came to fix you and me. There was a fella, a daddy, who was watching the football game. The Steelers were playing the Patriots, and they were just kicking the snot out of the Patriots. They intercepted Tom Brady 5 times. He fumbled a few times. It's my story, and I'll tell it the way I want to, okay? And this fella's little 4-year-old boy came over and said, "Daddy, Daddy, I want to play, I want to play." And his dad was saying, not now. I gotta watch the game, you know. And the little 4-year-old just wouldn't quit. "Daddy, Daddy, I got to play. Let's play. Let's do something." And the dad says, "Oh," he looked around and he saw a magazine laying there. And on the front cover of the magazine, there was a picture of the world taken from a satellite. So he tore the cover off the magazine and he took a pair of scissors and he cut that picture up into a bunch of pieces. And he got a roll of tape. And he went out to the kitchen table and he put it all down at the table with the tape. And he told his son, "When you put that picture back together, then we'll play." And he went out and he plopped down. He thought, "Oh, I can finish watching the game and watch another game before he gets that done." Well, in no time at all, the little boy come out with that picture all put together just right. And his dad says, "You're only 4 years old. How did you do that?" And the little boy says, "Well, it was easy, Daddy. On the other side was a picture of a man. And when I put the man together, the world was all okay." When we do things any which way we want, when we do things because it feels good, it seems right, because it makes us happy, and we get all messed up. And we're not right. And the world's not right. But when we do things the right way, according to the Word of God, following Jesus, then when we're okay, the world around us starts to get okay. Because there is a right way and a wrong way. And we need to teach that to our children. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. Even if it ruffles feathers, even if it goes against the customs of our society, we need to teach our children that there is a right way and a wrong way. And we need to set that example for them to follow. God loves you, and so do I.